Okay, we're going to try to finish Mishle today. We're on Chof Zayin Yud Tes. If we don't finish it today, this week, then we'll finish it next week. But the hope is we're going to be able to go through this 31 prakim altogether. Kamayim apanel apanim kein leva adam la'adam. So, like water face to face, so is the heart of man to man. When you look in the water, you see a reflection. You can see who you are. So too, the heart of a man reflects what the other person is thinking. So human emotions are just like water in a way. We're saying when you look into water, you see the face. What goes on in our hearts tells us about what goes on in the hearts of others. You should follow your feelings when it comes to this. Sometimes people are exactly correct when they go through things. When you see, it's cool, when you move away from the water after you see a reflection inside it, so the reflection vanishes. It just doesn't stay. And so too, when a promise that your friend gives you, when you go away from that person, it doesn't last. It doesn't last very long. Don't expect promises to last unless you're there and you're staying with them the entire time. That's what ends up happening when it goes through over here. There's another thing over here. When the waters are murky, no reflection can be seen. So too, you cannot see what other people are like if your own soul is polluted. If your neshama is knocked out or has something wrong with it, no matter what you try to see in others, you'll never see it. You'll never be able to see it because all you're going to see is your own issues, your own problems that the other person has. That's what it's like. Now, Shol v'avodah los hispana. Death and the grave are never satisfied. Any other los hispana. So too, the eyes of a person are never satisfied. A person, our greed is without limits. The amount that we want is ridiculous. The thoughts that we have of what we deserve, what we need, what we want, yeah, are ridiculous. They're absolutely ridiculous. That's the way human beings are. Human beings want absolutely everything. Alexander the Great arrived at the garden of the Gan Eden. He arrived at the gateway to Gan Eden itself. He wanted to open it. And they said, no, tzadikim yochuvam rishayim, lo rishayim. Rishayim don't belong in the gates of Gan Eden. Alexander the Great, you don't belong here. I'm a king, right? So they gave him the head of a corpse. They gave him a skull, right? The eye was open. He put the skull on top of a scale, and he put gold on the other side. All the gold he had, the skull was still heavier than all of it. So he couldn't understand it whatsoever. So he said, what is this? What am I supposed to do? They told him, instead of putting gold, put sand on the other side. Just a little bit of sand. A little bit of sand outweighed the entire skull. And the pshat is that this person, this is the eye of a person who's never satisfied. Alexander the Great, you keep wanting more and more and more and more. Like regular human beings, whatever. You have to learn how to be acceptant of what you have and be happy with it. And only then will you really be okay with everything that happens over here. And that's the idea. The eyes of a human being are never satisfied. And the grave is also never satisfied. There's always more people to die. If you work on your own eyes and make sure that you're not greedy, then you'll push off the grave a little bit. There's a refining pot for silver. There's a kiln for gold to be able to refine gold. Each man is tested by their own praise. Here's the pshat. Either you can learn it as each man is tested according to the praise that they give themselves, right? The way that a person talks about themselves, you know what kind of a person he is, right? If a person does that, it also goes by how he praises others. If you hear a person who's very little to say about other people, he has nothing good to say about other people, you know what kind of a person that guy is. But if you're a person who's effusive with his praise about everyone, he's like, that guy's good, and that guy's good, and that guy's good, and he says great things about everyone, you know what kind of a person he is. That guy's awesome. That's the guy that you want to hang out around. He's a really, really good person. And that's the shot behind it. We look at a kiln or a refining pot as being like, oh, it destroys part of the gold, destroys part of the silver. But it makes the silver and gold glossy and awesome. That's what happens when you have it. So too, when it comes to you, when you praise others, that doesn't take away from your own praise. It only adds to it. That's all it does. It's says, if you pound an evil person with a mortar, besocha rifos ba'ali lo sasumi alav yivalto, his foolishness will never depart from him. The way you do a pestle with grain or whatever it is, you'll never be able to remove it. No matter how much you pound him further and further, you're just going to make him more and more evil. What happens to a bad guy who something bad happens to him? Does that guy do tshuva? No, bad guy will continue to do evil, saying like, oh, see, now I have permission to do that. And that's really what happened to Eel for quite a while. He kept getting worse and worse, and all it did was send him off further and further. You're not going to remove it that way. Be diligent to know what's going on with your sheep. Get Pay attention to your herds. Don't expect them to work on their own. Don't expect your kids to be able to go to school and I'm not going to get involved. I'm not going to let my kids live whatever lives they want to live. I don't want to get involved. That's not going to work. Nothing's going to happen in that way. You have to get very heavily involved. Get involved. Find out what's going on with them. Work with them in everything they do. Ki lo olam chayson. Riches don't last forever. Vim nezer l'dor v'dor. For a crown doesn't go from generation to generation. How many kings last? Kings with power, I should say. How many times in history has a kingdom lasted more than 150 years? Wait to think about that for a second. A kingdom lasts, an actual kingdom lasts for more than 150 years. How many times? Because usually what ends up happening is, whatever, it like peters out after a while. Even my David Melech's kingdom, in the end, here, right over here, Ellie. In the end, Asalia, right, almost wiped out all of David Melech's children. One kid was able to survive. It just doesn't happen that way. So we got to be careful. You don't assume that everything's just going to last over here. Per Chav Zayin, Pasuk Chav Hay in Mishle. Gola Chatzir Benira Desha. When the hay is mown, right, when you mow the hay, the grass gets to be shown. Ben Esu Isvos Harim. And they gather in all the herbs of the field themselves. It's almost like the more you work, the better the next thing will be. I was always told when I was a little kid and I wanted to grow a beard, I was told, well, keep shaving on the same spot and your hair will grow back even stronger, even further. So the more you shave, they'll go through. I don't know if that's an old wives' tale or if it isn't a wives' tale, but that's the idea behind it. If you mow the grass one time, if you get rid of the hay, more hay will grow and it'll be even stronger. And it'll be the same way further and further and further. Kvasim l'vushecha. That way you have lambs for your clothing and mechir sada atudim. And so to goats, you'll be able to sell them for the price of a field and you'll get a field for yourself. Start off small, go for little sheep, go for goats. You'll have milk from the goats, you'll have clothing from the sheep, and you'll be able to do everything. Everything will take, you know, just take it little by little, and eventually you'll have enough money to buy a field. Chazal tell us, then in Pasuk Chavav, this refers to learning Kabbalah. Kivashim luvushacha. If you have things that are hidden, kavush means to be hidden, keep it for yourself, keep it under your shirt, don't tell anybody about it. There's no reason to go into stuff like that. The Rambam mentioned in Hilchos Yisodei Torah Perek Beis toward the end, don't go around telling people all about it. Keep it for yourself. And that's a very, very important line that nobody thinks it's out there. I'm sorry? Like esoteric wisdom, like Kabbalah and stuff like that. Just don't go around telling people about it. And you'll see, the people that know Kabbalah don't tell you they know Kabbalah. It's the people that tell you they know Kabbalah that you know they're fakers. You know that. Like if a person goes up to you and says, like, oh, I learned the 10 spheros. Okay, no, you didn't. You didn't. It's the Kabbalah Center people that you're just like, that guy's not for real. The real people are like Rabbi Raka. You go up to Rabbi Raka and you say to him, Rabbi Raka, can I learn Kabbalah with you? Kabbalah, maybe you could teach me. Like, yeah, that person is for real. Then you have something that's for real, and that's that. The day chalev yizim lelach mecha. The goat's milk is enough for your food. Lelachem beisecha, for the bread of your house. V'chayel arosecha, and it's life for your maidens as well, because I'll learn from over here that if you want your daughters to shine, to have a beautiful complexion, they should drink a lot of milk. They should drink a lot of milk. Then that's good for the person. I don't know if it's 2% or 1%. Depends. Back then, you know, being bigger was a little bit more. Then. Yeah, it was probably whole milk, right? And they probably drank a lot, and they were probably pretty big. But regardless, right, that's what you're supposed to do. Perakov Ches. Naltive in Rodef. The wicked flee when nobody's running after them. That's the Russia. Tzadikim kikfir yivtach. But tzadikim act like a small lion. Here's the deal. A large lion knows when its match is met, and he runs away. A small lion thinks he's a lot stronger than he actually is. Like a teenage lion, that's what a kfir is, will stand there and he will make sure that he's as confident as it can be. A tzaddik is unafraid. He says, a Kaddish Baruch Hu is behind me, I'll be able to do everything that I need. He trusts in a Kaddish Baruch Hu and knows that he'll be okay with everything he has. Befesha Eretz Rabim. When there's rebellion in the land, Rabim Sareha. That's because there are many rulers in that land. When an understanding man knows about this and he gets in charge, then everything else lengthens. Then you have length of days and everything's going to go well. It's a really cool Gemara. It's a Medrash, I'm sorry, where Eliyahu Navi, Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi asked Eliyahu Navi if he could walk with him in all the different places. So he did, but he said, Eliyahu Navi said, you cannot ask me any questions. I don't want to answer any questions. Don't ask me anything, you can walk with me. So he went, he did a bunch of things that were all questionable. Finally came to a certain city, and the city did not treat them respectfully, even though it was Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi and Eliyahu Navi, they didn't treat them respectfully. So in the end, Eliyahu Navi blessed them and said, you should all be leaders. you should all be leaders. They came to another city where everybody treated them, they were very poor, but everybody treated them with tremendous respect, and he said, you should be blessed with a tremendous leader. And Rabbi Shimon Levi finally said, I can't take this anymore, tell me what you meant. And he said, why did you bless that city that was mean to us? Why did you give them all leaders? In this city, you said something different. And he said the most obvious thing, right? The city that I blessed, that everybody should be leaders, that's worse for them. They'll never be able to make decisions. Everybody's going to argue with each other. It's going to be horrible until finally the city's just going to blow up in their own faces. This city, one leader is the best thing you can have. It helps everyone grow and everyone becomes something great. That's why I ended up blessing that way. And that's what we're saying over here. Too many princes, too many people that are around there is just going to hurt you. It says, Gever Rosh Va'oshek Dalim, a poor man who oppresses the poor, Matos El Cheve En Lachem. It's like a sweeping rain, like a rain that comes by that leaves no food, no bread, that nothing can grow from. It's like one of those monsoon rains that destroys everything. And that's the idea behind it. If you have the ability to give and you don't give, that's so much worse than a guy who obviously does not have anything to give, right, and doesn't give. Like, I don't mean to say it this way, but a wealthy person who has the ability to give a certain amount of money and doesn't give, obviously that's worse than anything else. It's almost like it's a sweeping rain to everybody around. They look forward and the poor people say, like, oh, maybe I'll be able to get from this guy. And then they literally get themselves, like, feel like, I lost everything. I don't have anything anymore. I feel like there's nothing there for me. That's what happens over here. Some read the rush as a Russia. If you see a person that is wicked, assume it's because he oppressed the poor. That might not mean he didn't give him money. It's that he oppressed him. He gave him money, but he made him feel like garbage, right? Or he treated him like garbage. If you don't have money, there's two ways of doing something. You can shake your head and say, I'm so sorry, right? When you don't have any money for him, you'd be like that. And going like that, like sweeping away as if he's a little fly, makes the poor person feel like a piece of garbage. Ozei Torah Yahalu Rasha. Those who forsake the Torah, they praise the Rasha. Shomrei Torah Yiskarubam. Those that keep the Torah, Yiskarubam. They are allowed to provoke them. They can fight them. There's Machlokis in the Gemara when you're allowed to fight against a Rasha. We say this is by a Rasha who is not in its time. He's not being successful. Then you can fight the Rasha. Or it comes to Mili Shmaya. When it comes to things of the heaven, when you're arguing with Torah, when the guy comes up to you and says, the Halacha should be X. Right, and he's a Russia, he's not a good person. Then you go up and you say, absolutely not, and you explain your opinion, why you think he's wrong. You do everything you can. I'm Tahaki Ashinov. Yeah. You get up and you fight him if it's coming to Mili Shmaya. If he gets up to you and he says something stupid, it's just like, yeah, your mother's or whatever, right? So you just say, like, oh, whatever. You can say whatever you want, right? But when it comes to something where it's like, where it's a spiritual thing, where he's trying to argue on something and say, no, that doesn't make any sense at all, then you go up in his face and argue the point. Get it right in his face and say, come on. Anshira lo evina mishpat. Evil people don't understand judgment. Even if it works out in their favor, they don't think it's because of the judgment. They just think that, oh, the guy finally, you know, he must have taken my bribe or something like that. But people who search for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they understand everything. Even when they lose, they understand why they lost. They get it. They look at the case and they're just like, you know what? I was no gay abadavar. Clearly the other guy was in the right and I was in the wrong. And that's what they think to themselves. Tov rash holos betumo mi'ikesh drachayim hu ashir. It's better to be a poor man who walks perfectly than a guy who's curve, whatever, twisting his roads, but well, sure, but he's a very wealthy man. Obviously, do not cheat in business in order to make a little bit more money. Notes of Torah, Bein Mevin. A wise son keeps the Torah. V'roa Zolim, Yachlem Aviv. But I'll tell you, a guy who's a shepherd of Zonas, and others like a, what do they call those guys? A pimp, right? That type of guy. Yachlem Aviv, all he does is embarrasses his father. He shames his father. I don't think anybody's ever proud. Oh, you'll never believe what my son does. Nobody's very proud of that. That's not something you want to be proud of. And that's that. It says, Mar behono b'neshech v'tarvis. If you increase your wealth by using interest, by getting involved in interest, right? In that case, l'chonin dalon yikbetzenu, he gathers it for him who's just giving it to a person who's chonin dalon. At the end of the day, this guy who's going to give all of his money with interest, he'll lose it, and it'll go to somebody who's chonin dalon, who gives to the poor properly when it boils down to it. That's the idea behind it. There's a guy who specifically keeps his money and won't lend to poor Jews because they can't lend with interest. Instead, they lend to poor non-Jews so they can lend with interest. Such a person is not doing the right thing. Your brother comes before any non-Jew, even though you won't be making any profit off it. And if a person says, well, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to make money? Maybe that shouldn't be your money-making business. Maybe you should be doing something else instead. Maybe that's a better thing. The people that I respect beyond anything in the world are the people that own gemachs. Those gemachim in Eretz Yisrael, where they own a gemach, and they just like, they take all the money from whatever it is, and they give out these free loans to anybody out there. That is an amazing bracha that they do for so many people to be able to give, and they eventually get paid back. Sometimes they're not exactly paid back in the way that they'd like to, but they get something back. That's the greatest, the absolute greatest. Meister Oznu Mishma Torah Gam Tefillah Toeva. If you stop learning Torah, then even your tefillah becomes a toeva. Your tefillah becomes an abomination. You don't want to do anything whatsoever. Your prayer becomes something that nobody likes. Mashke Yesharim B'Derech Ra. Somebody who leads the upright in a Derech Ra, Bishkusu Yipol, he'll fall in his own pit that he set for the other guy. He says, Usmimim Yechalu Tov, but the wholehearted ones, they're going to inherit only good. Good things are going to happen to them, and that's that. Yeravim Ben Avot is probably the greatest example of this. We're going to start Navi again soon. Yeravim Ben Avot, leading everyone astray by creating Chagim and making things for them and totally taking them off. There's no one worse than that. There's no one that could be considered worse than that. Chacham Be'ein of Ish Ashir. A rich man is somebody who's wise in his own eyes. He thinks he's doing the right thing and nobody can tell him what to do. Listen, if I made all this money, why do you think you have the right to tell me what to do with it? Right? Who gives you the right? Vidal Maven Yachkarenu. A poor man of understanding can see through him. He understands that that guy is never going to get what he's supposed to get because he thinks he's the leader. The poor man understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of everything. Balot Sadikim Rabba. When the righteous people exalt, Rabba Tiferes, there is awesome glory over there. And that's the idea. When the righteous people, when the tzaddikim are the ones who are able to speak, when they're given the proper honor, when you go to a place like the upcoming Agudah Convention, where the tzaddikim are able to talk and give over their stories and say things properly, then Rabba Tiferes, you'll see splendor, you'll see proper honor being given. Ubekum Rishayim, Yechupas Adam. But when the wicked rise, then a man has to go into hiding. You got to hide. You got to get away from there. Because that's never going to be good for anyone. That's going to be really hard for everybody. Mechasep sha'av lo yatzliach. Somebody who covers up his crimes, covers up his sins, he will never be matzliach. Umod va'ozev yurucham. But if you admit and you say, I'm never going to do it again, that person will have mercy. If you pretend like, I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't say anything, I didn't do anything, that guy is never going to be forgiven because he won't even admit his guilt. Just say something. Just say you did something wrong. I can't tell you how many times I say it. It's high school, you know, when you're dealing with high school kids. And they just won't admit what they did. All I want them to do is say, yeah, you're right, that was the wrong thing to do. That's all I want. And I'm like, are you sure? You sure you want to do it? Like, somebody sits there, and I see, I'm watching them, and they're not saying Tachanun. So I'm like, Plony, I think you should say Tachanun. What do you mean? I said it. Dude, I know. You know. I totally get it. We both know. You just say, like, I know, I'm just not in the mood. That's already a different story than something else. When a guy, he was sleeping through second Seder, a base medrash guy was sleeping through second Seder, right? A week ago, I caught him sleeping through second Seder. I went up, I was like, what's going on? Why are you sleeping through second Seder? He's like, oh, no, I didn't set my alarm, and I just didn't wake up. So I'm like, all right, let's go, right? And he's like, oh, I'm so tired. I'm like, get up, go, right? That's when it happened. Yesterday, same thing happened. He was sleeping through second Seder. I said, what's going on? He's like, I'm so sorry. I'm really not feeling good. Can I sleep? I'm like, okay, yeah. It's totally different. Like, you're going to tell me a story? Like, my alarm clock didn't go off. People, alarm clocks are not transient beings. They don't have the ability to not go off. They go off. It's just a question of whether you turned it off or not. But all alarm clocks go off. Okay, so that happens. Then you just have to admit, okay, I did something wrong. Now I'll go to the other side. But when there's excuses, there's nothing you can do. Ashrei adam mefachet tamid. Happy is a person who's always afraid. But somebody who hardens his heart is just going to fall into evil. If he won't agree to it, and that's that. Chassid once saw that his friend was very worried, right? He was groaning and dreading him. He said, wait, don't do that. That's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. You're going to bring upon the very evil that you don't want to bring upon you. You're going to do that because you're so afraid. And he said, what do you mean? Ashrei adam mefachet tamid. It's happy is the person who's always afraid. He said, that's when it comes to matters of olam haba. When it comes to olam hazeh, always trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and assume that things are going to be good. Have your bitachon. When it comes to olam haba, okay, whatever, right? When it comes to other things, that's the idea behind it. It says, Ari nohem v'dov shokek. A lion roars, a bear, growls or whatever it does, right? Moshe Rosh Olam Dal. That's what a wicked ruler is upon other people. It's like a lion roaring. The lion that roars is not necessarily the lion you should be afraid of. The lion that's lurking in the grass, slowly trying to jump on you and pounce on you, that is something you should be afraid of. That's something you should be like, okay. But a lion that's roaring, that means he himself is scared. He's just screaming at you because he himself is scared. So too with a bear as well. A bear is something as well. Chazal say this refers to Nebuchadnezzar and Achashverosh, etc. you just got to be careful. Nogid Chazer Tvunos, the prince who lacks understanding, Rav Ma'ashakis, he's a terrible oppressor. Because he doesn't understand, he abuses the people around him, and that becomes a problem. Sone Betza Yarech Yomim, if you despise gain gotten by an ill, you know, in a terrible way, that person will have Arichos Yomim. Such a person will have tremendous Arichos Yomim. Adam Ashuk Bidam Nafesh, a man that is oppressed by his blood guilt, Ad Bor Yanus, he flees to a pit, Al Yismuhubo, nobody will support him. Nobody will want to support such a person who is guilty and flees and runs away. Nobody wants to help him whatsoever. And I think that's true. When a person does something that he knows is wrong, whatever it is, and it's really wrong, and he's not admitting to it, he's just running away, everybody sits there and is like, we don't want to help you. Tell us what you did, and maybe we'll be able to help you in some way. But if the guy won't admit to anything, he's gone. Holech Tami Mivashea, a guy who walks steadfast, that guy is going to be saved. Venekash Drachaim Yipo Va'achas, otherwise, a guy is just going to fall into a pit, and nothing good is going to happen to him whatsoever. Oved Ad Masa Yisbalochem, a person who works his land will always be satisfied with bread. You work hard, you're going to be satisfied with bread. Maybe you won't have as much as you want. Maybe you want a little bit more. Maybe you could use an extra job or whatever it is. But if you work hard, you're guaranteed to be satisfied with bread. You'll have enough. Okay, maybe it's bread and water, but you'll have bread and water. Meradif Reikim Yisparish. But somebody who pursues vain things, you know, the things in life that you don't really need, Yisparish, you'll have your full of poverty. It makes no sense, but you'll see that when people make a little bit more money, just a little bit more money, they end up becoming poorer. Just started spending on things they wouldn't have. I always felt that a Kodesh Baruch would never allow me to have a little bit more money because I would spend it all on fish tanks. Pretty sure that's what I would do. I'd just waste my money, right? And that's that. So a Kodesh Baruch understands. Don't give him anything extra. And he's right. He's 100% right. I shouldn't have that much extra because I know I'm going to spend it on something bad. That's what ends up happening. Isha Munos Rab Brachos, a man of faithfulness. Everybody wants to bless that guy. If he's faithful. I went to Mariano's earlier today. I went to go get fish, right? A guy comes right up to me. He's like, did you hear the hawk? And I'm like, what? Right? I'm just standing. I had a safer with me. So I was just learning, waiting for my salmon, which took 38 minutes to grill for some reason. Right? And he's just like, do you hear the hawk? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, oh, you already know. I'm like, I already know. What are you talking about? And he starts telling you. I'm like, stop. Stop. Like, that's crazy. Like, there was no need for this whatsoever. Like, this isn't a Maxim Lafi thing. It's just crazy. That's a person I don't think I would ever tell a secret to in my life. I don't think I'm ever going to tell him a secret. He's just not an Isha Muni. He's not a person that's out there. Rab Brachos, everybody gives a bracha to the person who's trustworthy, what people want to talk to. But if you hasten to become rich, it's not going to be. You're not going to go out innocently. Unfortunately, what ends up happening is, you know, you start doing things that you might not be the most proud of over here. Ish Emunos Rav. The last letters are Shabbos. Shabbos. Use your Shabbos wisely. What does it mean to use Shabbos wisely? It doesn't just mean to sleep off what you had during the week. Although, obviously, Shabbos is an opportunity to sleep a bagel. That's obviously an unbelievable opportunity. That's not what Shabbos is all about. Shabbos is about understanding. I have during the week. I don't always have time to do what I want to do. On Shabbos, I'm going to add something on, something that I wouldn't have done otherwise. Hilchos Shabbos, something special. Doing something different on Shabbos itself to make it a little bit different. That's the idea behind it. Reb Chana Bar Abba was once a guest by somebody who lived in Lutkia. He brought him down into a table. There was a gold table. 16 men put it down. They brought every meat, every food. He said to him, what happened with this? Where do you get all this from? And he said, I was a butcher. Whenever I saw a good cut of meat, I saved it for Shabbos. Eventually, I ended up making a lot more money, owned butcher shops, got a lot of things. Baruch Hashem, now I'm very, very wealthy. And when a person treats Shabbos properly with his money and uses it properly, that becomes a really, really big bracha. I know a guy who Mamish believes this. He believes everything he spends on Shabbos does not count against his parnasa for the year. Doesn't count. He has the greatest meals you have ever seen on Shabbos. The greatest meats and everything and tons of stuff. And then he saves the stuff for the rest of the week. You get it? Because like he has leftovers for the rest of the week. So he has like 30 different foods on the table. They're all awesome foods. And when you say to him, like, why do you have so much? It's only a couple people here. Why do you have so much? He just simply says, what do you mean? All my money is going for Shabbos. I'm not getting, I don't lose anything from that. So why shouldn't I spend $700, $800, $900 on Shabbos? I'm not losing. I don't lose anything from it. I'm going to get all my money back. He mamish believes it. And so far it's done well for him. He's not poor. That I can tell you. He's definitely not poor. Chav Aleph, Hakar Panim Lo Tov. To be respectful, right, is not always right. Not always a good thing. Al Pas Lachem Yivsha Gavar. Sometimes, for a little bit of bread, a person is willing to do anything. Sometimes you respect the wrong people, the people that don't deserve your respect, that doesn't end up being good for anybody over here. Sometimes it seems to be almost like a bribe. You got to be really careful with that. People are willing to sin even just to get a little bit of bread. Niva lahon ish ra'ayin. A guy who's stingy, he gets so confused in order to make more money. He'll do anything for money. He has no idea that loss is going to come upon him, that bad things are going to come upon him because of that. Somebody who gives mussar to another person will find more favor mimachalik lashon than somebody who flatters with his tongue. Than somebody who goes around and flatters with his tongue. Somebody who, again, you give mussar to a person, right? Sometimes they need it. But if you flatter him and you say, like, oh, you're just an awesome guy, you just keep going, sometimes that doesn't do as good. Sometimes you need to yell at the person properly. The question is, when? When do you yell at a person well? And when do you machlik lashon? When do you tell him, no, you're doing a great job? It depends. It depends on each person and what the person needs and what the person can do. Goes all vivim of omrein pasha chavru liish maskis. If you rob your father and your mother and you say, I didn't do anything wrong, that guy's a chavru liish maskis, you're causing other people to sin as well. The pshat is that this is a crazy halacha. If you rob your father and then your father, chas v'shalom, passes away, not only do you have to pay it back, but you're not allowed to get that as part of the inheritance from the other brothers. That's something that automatically goes to the other brothers and you lose that entire thing. That's what happens if a person robs from his father itself. He gives up that type of thing. If he's the only heir and that's what he stole from his father, then he has to take all of that money and give it away to tzedakah. He can't keep it, even though he inherited it right afterward. That's a very hard one. There's a story over here, but not shaykh. Chavei, rechav nefesh yegora madoin. A guy who is greedy, he just provokes other fights. He makes other people fight. Voteach al Hashem yidushan. But somebody who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that guy is going to become fat. With a PH and an F. He becomes very, very awesome in everything he does because he trusts that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu take a boteh, believe it will steal. But if you trust in your own heart, you're just a fool. Holy Pekachmo Yimalait, a guy who walks in wisdom will be able to escape from anything. Everything will happen. Nosan L'Rashay Machsor, somebody who gives to a poor man will never be lacking. Omalim Einav Rab Me'eros, somebody who hides his eyes, Rab Me'eros, he gets tons of curses. You trust in a Kodesh Baruch Hu, will be generous, everything will work out well. Otherwise, unfortunately, curses abound. Curses abound. Because again, you're the type of guy, you don't want to be that guy who you see the Mishloach coming and you turn your head. You know, like it's as if you don't see him. Everyone knows you saw him. Everyone knows. For you to just go up to him and be like, I'm sorry, I can't give, or I just don't want to give right now. Even that's better than hiding your eyes. I've known a person who sits in his house, and when a Mishloach comes to the door, he like slowly like gets down and like turns off the lights. Like, that's not the right thing to do. You don't want to give to a Mishloach. Okay, I understand it. You can say, you can open the door and say, like, I'm really sorry, I don't have anything to give right now. But that's that. I had a guy who came to my house this past week, right? Just 2 days ago, he came into the house, right? And I was in the middle of something. It was the middle of a shir that I was listening to, and I was trying to put everything down, right? And I really wasn't in the mood. I said, all right, quickly. There was two guys, right? So I brought them in. One of the guys said to me, he's like, you can give 360, you know? So I was like, 360, are you kidding me? Like, who do you think I am? Right? So I'm like, no, I can't, right? So he's like, okay, 180. So I'm just like, this is not a bargaining chip. It's not there. But I got this guy. You know why? I noticed he was quiet when I wrote out the check. I wrote it for 18, right? I think he thought I wrote 180. And he only noticed later that it was 18. But I didn't mean to do it. All of a sudden, I was like, oh, why is he quiet? He's like looking over at my check as I'm writing it and seeing what I wrote. And I'm just like, okay, but he wasn't complaining. And then I realized, he's like, Shkreisi Shekoyach. I was like, he probably thought I gave him a lot more than 18. It's fine. Worked out well. Bekum Rishayim Yisaser Adam. When the wicked rise, men go into hiding. Uba'avdam Yirbot Tzadikim. When they perish, that's when the righteous increase. Well, that's when they have the opportunity. More Tzadikim have the opportunity to get up because they have something there. Now we have Perikov Tess. Ish Tokachos, a man who is often given Musar, Maksha, or if he hardens his neck, he's like, you know what, I don't want to listen anymore. Pesa Yishaver, the Ein Marpe, that guy will suddenly be broken and no one can heal him. Because if he keeps having the opportunity to fix himself and he doesn't, what do you think is going to happen? He has the right people in the right places. Unfortunately, it's just not listening. And Pasuk Beis, Bervo Tzedikim Yismacha Om. The people are so happy when there's more Tzedikim around. Ubimshol Russia Yenach Om. Everybody groans when a Russia takes over, when a Russia is going to be in charge. I think we understand that. When Mordechai and his men were able to come in charge, when they had the Anshe Knesset Gedol, everybody's happy. When a person like Haman's in charge, that's much, much worse when it comes down to it. So the line is like this. There's a mashal. A man heard about a certain successful trader. He was happy. Later, he heard about another successful trader, and he groaned. Asked to explain his joy in one case, his dismay in the other, he said, the first trader is honest. all the customers make a nice profit, and everybody rejoices at his joy because he really is a good guy and he wants everybody else to improve along with himself. The second trader profits from other people's losses. He tries selling things to people and making his money off people's mistakes. So when that guy, right, when he rejoices, that makes everybody else groan because that means that other people lost a lot of money, right? There's like, I don't know if I've met a real used car salesman that's been a really great guy, right? But a used car salesman has that opportunity, right? Obviously, everybody needs cars. To be able to sell him a car that's going to work for him, even if you yourself won't make the extra $1,000, may be the best thing. Even though, at the end of the day, it was like that. My first time when I bought a car in America, I went to a certain person, he gave me a car, right, and I took the car, and I was like, wow, this is really nice. It was 2007, and he got me a 2007 Toyota Corolla, and it was beautiful, fully loaded, everything inside it. I brought it to a mechanic. The mechanic's like, this has been in two major accidents. It's going to, like, fall apart in, like, 3 years. Brought back to the guy, he's like, all right, I'll get you something else. Like, no, that, like, this is not the time to, like, go around. Like, you almost messed me over entirely. But that's the way it could be. And obviously, there are other people that are doing better things than that. Again, a man that loves Chochma, he makes his father happy. A person who's together with Zonas, what do you think is going to happen? He's going to lose all his money. Because where do you think his money is going to? All he's doing is using up all his money for that. Melava Mishma Yamid Aretz, a true king, stands up the land with good Mishpa when he does Mishpa. V'ish Trumos Yarsena. But a person who only wants gifts and wants to take gifts from other people, he doesn't want Mishpa. He just wants to make money off it. Yarsena, he tears down the world as well. That's a person who doesn't go through. Chazal say this refers to Rechavam, that Rechavam would not lower the taxes that Shlomo Melech imparted to the people, and that's why Yeravam broke off and made his own kingdom, Malchus Yisrael, and unfortunately that was a terrible thing to do. Ish Trumos, he wants more gifts for himself, Yerusani, you're going to destroy the entire Malchus based of it. Gevra Machlik Al Rehu, Reshes Poris Al Palmav, a guy who flatters his fellow man, he's spreading a net for him, for his steps, waiting for him to fall so that he could take over what he has. Depesha Ish Ra Mokesh, in the evil of an evil man, there's a snare. But tzaddik yirum v'yasameach. The tzaddik will be able to sing and rejoice. So that's the idea behind it. A tzaddik will be able to say, look, I was able to help that guy. I could find something good for him. Your dad tzaddik din dalam. The tzaddik knows that the poor need a lot of help. Russia liyavin das, but the Russia does not care, nor does he want to know. He just does what he wants to do. Anshe latzon yafichu kirya. A person who is a latzon, clowns, scornful, comedians who don't care about the truth, they just want to make fun of it, they inflame a city. They make the entire city go crazy where they want to kill each other. Wise men are able to turn away almost all anger. They're able to make sure that nobody gets angry. They're able to turn it all away and make sure that nothing bad happens. Pasutas ish chacham nishpat as ish avil. A wise man fights with an evil man. Ragaz v'sochak ve'einachas. In such a case, all you're going to have is anger and laughter, no nachas whatsoever. Don't get into a fight with these fools who are only there in order to scorn what you have to say. I think it was Richard Dawkins got into a debate with the chief rabbi of Israel, Lord Emanuel Jacobs, and it was a nice debate. It was a lot of good things. But he kept scoffing at everything he said. And Lord Jacobs, I forgot what it was. There was a certain line that he said. He's just like, if you're not going to take things seriously, there's nothing to talk about. If you're playing for the crowd, and that's what he was really doing, you're playing for the crowd, then we're not having a debate. Like, I don't want to be here for you to just, you know, sit there and laugh. I'm trying to be serious here. If you want to be serious, then good. That's the way it is. Like, there's no point to it. You're not going to get anything from it. Anshi dami misnu sum. People of blood that want bloodshed, they don't want the innocent people who sit there and do nothing. Yisharim yivakshu nafsho. The upright, they try to take away their souls. The upright people, they try to take it away. They don't want those people around. Karuchal yotzi ksil. A fool vents his rage. He gets all angry and he just lets it all out. And even says, like, I need to get it all out. I need to scream. I need to, you know, go crazy. That's the only way for me to get better. That's the way he is. A chacham ba'achor yishabchana. A chacham praises when he looks back at it a little bit later. I did a great thing with one of my kids yesterday. One of my kids went through. I caught one of my kids lying. Now, how old was the kid who was lying? 3 years old. Tell me, how do you punish a 3-year-old for lying? What happened? He said, Hoover pulled down my pants. It embarrassed me. Right? So I said, Hoover, you did that? He said, no, he's lying. So I look back at him, and I'm like, did you just lie? He said, no. I said, did you just lie? He said, yes. 3-year-old. 3-year-old. What do? You can't be like, oh, it's okay. It's a three-year-old. But on the other hand, you can't allow him to get lying. So what did I say to him? I said, I have to pot you. He said, no. I said, I'm going to have to pot you. But I'm going to pot you. Do you want me to do a hard one or a light one? So what do you think he said? He said, light one. I said, okay. A lie, if you do it again, you're going to get a hard potch. Right now, you're going to get a light potch. And then I gave him really hard. No. I gave him a light potch. That we understood. Nothing hurt. Didn't have anything. But he has to understand, this is what's going to happen if you lie. A three-year-old, there's no svara behind this. Just like he wants to see what he can get away with. You can't let a three-year-old get away with something like that. You'll teach him how to do anything. A wise man praises in retrospect. And then afterward, I think it was right after it, I went up to him and I was like, you did a great job in telling me the truth. So proud of you for telling me the MS. Right? I didn't give him a candy. That would be like, you know, that would be too good parenting. But like, that's that. Moshe Makshiv al Dvar Shakir. If a ruler listens to lies, Kol Mishoros of Rishayim, then all of his servants will be wicked. Because all he'll do is listen to what they have to say. And they're telling him anything they want. Because he's willing to listen to anything. Pasuk Yigimel. Rosh V'ish Tachachim. A poor man and a wretched man. A man who's been through a lot. They meet each other. Nifgashu, they meet each other. Meir Einei Shneim Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives light of eyes to both. Obviously, these people are sitting there and like, what am I supposed to do in this world? Why am I here? What's the point of everything if I don't have anything good? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows them something that they can do. Yes, it's hard. Yeah, it's difficult. But you have the ability to do something. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts it in them so that they realize like, oh, I do have something to do. I do have the ability to do something. And he's able to get over it. Melech Shofei Be'emes. Dalim, a king who judges the poor people truthfully, Kisal Adikon, that throne will last forever because he deals with the poor properly. Sheva v'tochach haziten chokma, the rod and the reproof allow for wisdom to be done. Benar meshulach mevishimo, but a free child, a child that's left abandoned to do whatever he wants, that's just going to embarrass his mother. And once again, the same way we said it before, how to use a rod properly, how to use musr and how to use corporal punishment really properly, not in a bad way, but in order for the child to know what he can and what he can't do. But those Roshayim Yirva Pasha, when the wicked are increased, then there's tremendous sins in the world. Tzadikim bim paltum yiru, the tzadikim will hopefully see their downfall where everything goes down because of what they've done. Yaster bin Kav Yinichecha, allow your son to be reproved. Give him the right musr, speak to him properly, and he will give you good things in the end. Beitam adanun lavshecha, he will give you delights for your very own soul by allowing him to be in that way. Be'ein chazon yipura am, when there's no vision, the people just lose themselves completely. Shomer Torah, somebody keeps the Torah, Ashrehu. He will be always become happy. Because that person will always know what to do in every situation. He'll speak to the people who are learning Torah, and he'll understand, that's what I have to do over here. Bidvarim lo yivaser, lo yivaser aved. A slave is not disciplined by words. You can't expect a slave to be perfect. If all you're going to do is talk to him and say, come on, buddy, let's go. Sometimes the slave needs to be shown the rod, the same way that a kid does. Ki yavin beimaneh. He understands, but there's no response. You need a response from him. He's not going to submit in that way. Sometimes you need to do something a little bit more. When it comes to your workers, there are two ways that workers respond. There are workers that respond through positive re-encouragement. There are workers that respond through negative. But most people respond through a combination of both. Knowing when to give them positive encouragement and when to be able to say, no, you're wrong. That's not the way to go. And if you do that properly, then things go well. And if you do it improperly, where you just yell, or you only give positive, but you never ever punish, even if they do something that's horribly wrong, there's no lessons being learned and nothing ends up going through. Chazis ish atz bidvarav, do you see a man who's hasty with his words? Tikla l'ksil mimenu. There's better hope for a fool than a guy who keeps talking and doesn't know what he's saying. That guy who keeps talking and goes through, it's much better to be that. Methanik minoar, a person who pampers from his childhood. Avdo, his slave itself, achrisi yamanon. In the end, that slave will end up being your master. He will end up ruling it. What that means is that within your own house, you won't be able to do anything that you really want to do because the slave will have his way with almost everything. He'll decide what's going to be over here. It's a long story over here. It goes through, and it's a really good one, and everybody knows it when it goes down. Should I say it? Might as well, right? It's a really good one.
Sure.
Okay. Let me tell you a story the chassid began. On a certain day, a number of guests arrived at my home. After I welcomed them, I hastened to my shop to purchase food for them, meat, bread, and wine. Having made my purchase, I stepped outside the shop to get someone to carry the provisions home for me. I encountered a very handsome lad of about 15, fine-featured but scrawny-looking. I was astonished at his great beauty, but also dismayed by his wretched appearance. "I'll take this load upon my shoulders," he said to me. "You can pay me as you wish." Later, I handed him a silver shekel for his help, but he refused to take it, the kid. I'll take a quarter of that sum. That's my usual fee. I only take a quarter of that. Please come into the house, I said to him, partake of food and drink. But he said, even if you pay me a house full of silver and gold, I will not eat by you. From the day that I gained understanding, I have not received benefits from any man except what I earned from the labor of my own hands. That's what this kid said. I was astounded, this lad, the chassid continued. I spoke to him about him to my guests, and they were as intrigued as I was. After my guests departed, I went to the marketplace to look for him, but I failed to find him. 4 months went by. One day I saw an old man and I asked him about the lad. You mean that saintly young man, he responded? I saw him only 3 days ago and took leave of him at such and such a location. I went there at once. I met a man who I asked about the lad. Come with me, the man said, and I will show you a ruin where he makes his home. I followed him, entered the ruin, and there saw the lad. He was very ill. He lay on the bare ground. A stone supported his head. I pleaded with him to come with me. Promised him a proper bed, food, and medications. The lad refused. Leave me be. Time has come. My fate is set. I remained with him that entire day, kept giving him water. Towards evening, he said to me, go dig in that spot, and you will find 50 silver shekels. I dug and I found the money. These coins are the fruit of my toil. I beg of you, please, after my death, buy shrouds for my burial, hire workers to dig a grave for me. Use these coins. I do not want to derive any benefit from other people's money, neither during my lifetime nor after my death. I promise to do as what she said to me. Stretch out your hand under the rock that serves my pillow. Take out whatever you find. I inserted my hand and located a precious book inset with precious stones and pearls. She said to me, this book has been my delight throughout my days. There are the commands of God, his mandates, his instructions. I studied this book day and night. Now I must ask a favor of you. After my death, take the book, go with it to a certain city, come to the king of that city, hand him the book. Saint Lad then died. I hired workers, bought burial garments for him, washed clean and purified, and then I buried him. Anybody heard this story before? I read it in a weird book. That accomplished, I took hold of the book and journeyed to the named city as he instructed. I approached the gate to the king's palace. Here, take this book, I said to the guard. A certain man gave it to me for the king. He took the book and asked me to wait. He returned almost at once. The king wishes to see you, he said. When I entered the king's presence, I found him kissing the book, weeping and crying out, whoa, oh, that I would have died in your place, my son. How very great was my wish to give you all the precious things in the world, but I did not succeed. You chose a life of wandering, poverty, and affliction. You despised the kingly pleasures, departed from your father's palace to dwell in a ruin. Tell me about my son. The king turned to me. I related everything that was there was to relate. The king said, know that this lad was the best of my sons and the light of my eyes. He was wise in the perfection of beauty, complete in all qualities of excellence. From a very young age, he knew to fear God and he kept away from evil. I said to my son, why do you despise the pleasures of the palace? Why do you insist on going forth to wander? His answer was, if I become immersed in pleasures, I will forfeit my world. But you can stay here and serve. So I said, what will I say on the day of judgment? I pleaded with him, but you can stay here and serve God. But he replied, I am afraid of the honor that the people accord me as the king's son. Please let me be. I'll venture out to a place far from here. There I will support myself by the labor of my hands. I will not take anything from me which is yours except this book. In it, I will find consolation in my land of affliction. After he told me all this, the king wanted to present me with a great gift. But I said to him, I don't want to benefit from anything this precious lad abhorred. He wished me well, and I departed. That's the pshat. Chazal have expounded that one pampers a servant from childhood refers to the Yetzer Hara. The one Yetzer Hara. So the whole mushel is based on the Yetzer Hara. The physical urge compels a person to stray in this world, and then it testifies against them in the world to come. That it masters the person completely, compels him even when he becomes old, and then it testifies to all of his avonos in the Olam Haba. When a person allows himself to be pampered, as if he gets everything in the world and he deserves everything out there. Pretty crazy story, right? It's a long one. Pasuk Beis. Ish afi gara madon. An angry man just makes more fights. Balchema rab pasha. A hot-tempered man just commits horrible sins. Gaivas adam tash bilanu. The gaiva of a person allows him to bring low. Ushval ruach yismo kavod. But one of a lowly spirit will attain. He'll reach his honor. He'll end up getting his honor. Cholek im ganav. Somebody who shares with a thief. Sonei nafsho. The guy hates his own life. How can you share with a thief? You know the guy's a thief. You ever seen a guy who you know he stole the object that he's trying to sell you in the street? It's clear that he stole it. And how can you? You know something's wrong. Oli Yishma Bali Yagid. He hears what witnesses say and he says nothing. He's not willing to listen. He thinks like, no, this can't be it. It's got to be something different. Cherdas Adam. Hitem Mokesh. The fear that a person has in this life ends up bringing a snare, brings a net for him to be caught in. But somebody who trusts in HaKadosh Baruch Hu will always end up being on high. Everything will work out for such a person. Everything will be perfectly fine. Rab Mavakshim Pnei Moshe. Many people search to the ruler's face. They want to be able to see the ruler. But from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, That's where the judgment of a person comes. You won't be judged by a king. You're going to be judged by a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and that's it. That's the only person that's really there. The abomination of any tzaddik is an evil man. The abomination of a Rasha is somebody who's on the right path. Somebody who's upright in his path. That's the idea behind it. They abominate. What does it mean? They find abominable the other person. A tzaddik cannot stand a Rasha. A Rasha cannot stand a tzaddik. They stand for opposite things altogether. They can't deal with each other, and that's the problem when it comes down to it. You're dealing with something which is so abhorrent to the other person, they can't deal with the other. Okay, Parak Lamed. Let's see how much we can get over here. Dibrei Agur Ben Yoke Hamasa. Okay, Neuma Gever Leisiel Veuchol. Now, this Parak is going to be comprised of 8 parts altogether, and although we're not going to be able to finish, it's 9:09 already, and we only have a couple more minutes. We'll give this little bit of the introduction to be able to go through. It's made of 8 parts. We call this Agur Ben Yoket. Everything in it is filled with Kabbalah, secrets of the Torah, that we're obviously not going to be privy to, things that are transmitted through the Mesorah that Chazal have given us throughout the ages. Nothing here is Pashut. And even if the Psukim seem to be a little bit more... they're definitely different from everything we've had from Mishlei up until now. They're going to seem to be sort of like, oh, it's leading in a certain direction. It has nothing to do with that. It's all dealing with how to learn Torah and how to be a good person, etc. So Agur ben Yakeh, we don't know who he is. He could have been a Talmud of Shlomo Melech. It could be another name for Shlomo Melech himself. Agur means he assembled the wise men. Yakeh means he made a kehila of wise men, as in Koheles. Putting together Koheles. So it's possible that refers to over here. Masa means a bit of poetry. It was a type of poetry that he said that didn't exactly rhyme. You know, sometimes poetry is just like regular line after line after line. That's the idea behind over here. The Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who put together all of these Sfarim.
Yeah. Call it prophecy.
Prophecy? He said an actual prophecy? It's interesting over there. That's interesting. That is actually interesting. By Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who put this all together, this likely was not included by Shlomo Melech in his original book of Mishlei. It's likely it was not. We already said that there were 3 books of Mishlei, one in Perek Aleph, one in Perek Yod, and one in Perek, I forgot what it was, Chav Beis or Chav Gimel, right, over here. It's likely over here that this was not originally part of it. It was added on later on because of a conversation that this man, Agur, or Shlomo Melech, had together with Isiel and Uchol. Right? Isiel and Uchol. Now, who are those people over here? We have absolutely no idea. Why is Isiel mentioned twice? So it's interesting. It could be that he says, E.T. Kel, God is with me. That he truly felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with me in everything you did, everything he did. And that's what he's saying. That's where I got the wisdom in my mouth. So some say that it wasn't even he was speaking to 2 people. Isiel and Uchal were also names of Shlomo Melech. Etl is that God is with me and allowing me to say the right things. Uchal is that I am able. I am able to do everything that I want to do. I'm able to have everything that my heart desires. Shlomo Melech at this time was the wealthiest of all men. He had built the Beis HaMikdash. He was the wisest of all men. He was a person who had everything in the world, married to thousands of wives, and the land was completely at peace. So at that time, he was Uchal. He had everything he could have possibly wanted in the world itself. And here is his message. The message that he said. So just look at that first pasuk. Ki vara nochi me'ish. I am the most animalistic of all men. Lo binas adam li. I don't have the understanding of a human being. That's what he starts off. Which is already interesting. What kind of a person is going to say that? Why is he going to say it that way? All right. Well, I think we'll stop with this for right now. We'll get into Perek Lamed and Lamed Aleph. Darn it. Okay. So next week, we'll finish. Only 2 prakim left.